Hey, go to Acts chapter 2. We are, last Sunday we marked as Pentecost Sunday. And if you remember, we talked about Pentecost takes place in community. That they were all together. They were all one. And how we, what God is really about is not conformity in the sense that we all look alike, talk alike, act alike. It's not that. It's where we come together under one head, Jesus Christ, and what he values, we value. What he tells us to do, that's what we do. So it's not that we are all just robotically saying the same thing, doing the same thing. That's really what religion is. But relationship means that we love each other and we encourage each other, and Pentecost happens in community. Today we're going to be talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was raised in a Pentecostal church, which means from my youngest memories, I can remember some pretty interesting things that have happened in the church. How many's ever seen some things that you go, wow, yeah. Right? Sometimes the wow was fun, and sometimes the wow was, wow. It's kind of like, I'm not sure what that's about, but when you're raised in that, it just becomes normal. But if you're not raised in that, it can be kind of like, okay. So today we're not going to try to do all the wow, but we're going to talk about what does it mean to be filled. And I understand the denomination I come from, in our 16 tenets of faith, one of those tenets, number 8, is speaking in other tongues. And the next time I teach, I think I'm going to deal with that, but without minimizing that and without putting that aside, because it is a gift that the Bible teaches us, that God gives us, of communication. But as you look through the scripture, it's not the main focus of what being filled is about. And please don't turn me into the AG. Okay? I believe in this gift. Any gift God wants to give me, I'm saying, bring it, I'll take it. But that's not what it's really the focus on. And when we study this word filled, we'll understand what really it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you'll go with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, which is an indication. And remember when Solomon dedicated the temple, fire came down from heaven. It's kind of like God is bridging the Old Testament temple with the New Testament, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So it's not that every time this happens, fire has to come down. That's not what it's about. It's not prescriptive. It's descriptive. It's just trying. God is bridging the Old Testament temple where fire, his presence dwelt in the Old Testament temple. Now we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And he started with this bridging of now the New Testament temple is us and his presence by fire. So that's just a side note. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So let's discover this word filled. And we're going to do a little work today. Don't zone out on me, because we're going to do some work here to try to understand what the Bible talks about being filled. So they were all filled. Say that word with me, filled. Okay. This word filled has a few meanings, and we're going to look at them briefly. First of all, the meaning filled carries the idea of a ship that has a capable person steering it. So that ship can be filled with cargo, it can be filled with people, it can be filled with merchandise, but until the captain comes aboard the ship, someone who is capable of steering that ship correctly, that boat has yet to be filled. For today, it's like us. If you get on an airplane, you can get on that airplane and every seat could be occupied and that plane looks full, but it is not filled until the airline pilot gets into his seat, someone capable of flying that plane. That plane is not filled until the captain comes on board. So when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, it means, first of all, that someone was capable of leading their lives in the right direction. Secondly, the word filled means this. It means as if you, when you come into a house that you're looking to purchase and that house is empty, or you come into an apartment and that apartment is empty, all you have are empty rooms. That apartment or that house is not filled until your possessions come into that house. And the third thing that we're looking at here, the word filled means, it means that when you have dirt or ground that is barren, it's unable to produce anything, when you put on fertile soil upon that ground, now that ground has potential to produce something. So when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, the emphasis is not on the gift of tongues that they were given. The emphasis is three things, and we're going to add one more out of Ephesians in just a moment. The first thing is the person who now entered into their life was capable of leading their life in a way that they could not do by themselves. Secondly, they were able to produce something in their lives that they could not do this by themselves. So when the Bible says that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience, you and I cannot produce that kind of lifestyle on our own. Now, we might have moments where we love and moments where there's joy and there's moments where we've got peace. But to live a life that is filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness, faithfulness and self-control, that only comes by the production of Holy Spirit being in our lives to be in fullness. And the third thing is that because we have the filling of the Holy Spirit, there are things that can come through our lives that we can't do by ourselves, which means this. When we pray for people, people can get well. When we pray for people, we can have understanding that does not come from natural understanding, but it comes from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Did I even take a breath in all that? So when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, we've got to understand something. And here's one thing that I've heard often that I disagree with. I've heard the statement, people don't change. Just people don't change. They're basically who they are as a kid. That's who they're going to be when they're an adult. They don't change. And I totally disagree with that. Because what we see in the lives of these disciples is this. Remember, 50 days earlier, they were hiding in a room because they were afraid for their lives. So when Jesus rose from the dead, he comes and he appears suddenly into this room where they were all hiding because they were all filled with fear. We see just 50 days earlier, these disciples were fighting over who's going to be in charge, who's going to be number one in the kingdom of God. And they're having a fight the very night Jesus is going to the cross. They're fighting amongst themselves of who's going to be number one, number two, number three. These same disciples who just 10 days earlier were so filled with national pride that they're still asking Jesus, are you going to this time restore the nation of Israel back to prominence? So we see in just a small window, less than 2 months, we see disciples that were filled with pride, disciples that were filled with fear, and disciples that were filled with jealousy change because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. If you want to see change in your life, it's not by self-help. It's by being filled with the Holy Spirit. So what do we see in the disciples' lives? We see a new courage. We see new motivation. We see new humility. And we also see in Acts chapter 2, we see that these guys are now not performing in their own strength. Holy Spirit is working through them and what's going on in their lives. They are great signs and wonders and miracles are taking place through their hands. Why? It goes back to Acts chapter 2, verse 4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So, the evidence of Holy Spirit working in our lives, of what we're filled with, is that we have someone steering our lives other than ourselves. Can I just be honest with you all? If you're in charge of your own life, be greatly afraid. I'm not tricking here. I've done that, been there, bought the t-shirt. I don't know what tomorrow holds. And if my life depends on me, I'm in trouble. I had a guy tell me the other day, he said, Mike, what's your 1, 3, 5-year, 10-year plan? And I said, I don't have one. And he goes, well, then, Mike, if you fail to plan, you're going to plan to fail. I said, I'm not failing to plan. I just realized I don't know what in the world's going to happen 5 years from now. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen 3 weeks from now. But now I have someone in my life who does know what's going to happen 5 years from now, who does know what's going to happen tomorrow. And my role is to surrender to his leadership and let him be the pilot. If you get on an airplane, you do not want me to be the pilot, even though I've played video games where I have been the pilot of an airplane. Here's what usually happens when I pilot an airplane. It goes like this. Pow. You don't want me to do that, and you don't want you to do that. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're allowing him to be the pilot of your life. And Jesus is a good shepherd. The Holy Spirit's a good captain. So I began asking myself this question. When I was about 16 years old, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then I was told, you need to keep being filled. And I began to ask myself this question, why? If I am filled, why do I need to be filled again and again and again? And I was told things like this. Well, it's like you're like a car. And when you drive the car, there comes a point you got to come back to the gas station and plug in and fill back up. So it's like, okay, so is Holy Spirit like, okay, I'm 60% filled, I'm 70% filled. You know, does he drain out of me? Do I leak, Holy Spirit? And it never made sense to me. It never really made sense. How can you leak God? How can he drain out of your life? Until I realized that's not what the Bible's teaching at all. So if you'll go with me to Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to look at the verse that really started me thinking on this. And Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus, and we spent a lot of time there a few months ago, where in Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3, Paul lays out so magnificently all that God has done for us that we might have a relationship with him. And then 4, 5, and 6, he starts by saying, now let's live a life worthy. So it's like this worthy is the scales of a balance. Like when you see all that God has done for you, that you might have relationship with him, the way we live now balances out. It proves that we understand all that God has done for us. So let's live a life worthy of what he has called us to. So now in chapter 5, he's saying, now let's live a life of love like God. And he says this in chapter 5, just to kind of give context. He says, you know what? Let's don't go back to darkness. Let's don't live in darkness anymore. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust. That doesn't bring life to you. Don't go back to that. Once you've experienced the light of God, don't go back to that. He says, find out what pleases the Lord. And then he goes in chapter 5, verse 15. Listen, he says this. He says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. So he's going to show us, here's what unwise living is and here's what wise living is. How many want to be wise? I'm setting you up. I'm going to tell you right front. I'm setting you up. Okay? How many want to be wise? Okay, so if you say unwise, I already set you up, so you already know that. Okay, look what he says. Here's what unwise living looks like. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Here it is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, dissipation. Okay, do not get drunk on wine, which leads somewhere. The word debauchery means a disorderly life. It means seduction from duty, allegiance, or virtue. It means that when I am filled with wine, I am no longer living under the virtue and the life that God has for me. I can't tell you how many times I have talked with people who at a moment of being drunk made a lifelong decision that cost them. What was I thinking? You weren't. What was influencing your life was alcohol. And Paul says that's unwise. It's not wise to live that way, because it'll lead you to a disorderly life. Okay? Now he shows us what is wise living, and here's what it looks like. He says, instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, here's where we got to do a little work, so don't tune me out. I know school is over for some of you, but we're going back to school for just a moment, okay? This word is, be filled with the Spirit, is plural. So what that means, it applies to all Christians, not just a few. So it's a command that Paul says that is for everybody who says, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Not just for the pastor who's got a microphone, who's got to teach, not for people who sing, not for a Sunday school teacher, but for everybody. This is the command. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the verb is present tense, which means this. Keep on being filled. Be being filled over and over again. It's that process of being filled. It's an experience we should enjoy often and consistently. Third, the verb is passive, which means this. You and I can't do this for ourselves. The Holy Spirit has to be one who fills us. So this verb has nothing to do with quantity or contents, like an empty vessel or like a gas tank filling up. Here's what this word means. Now, stay with me. Everybody with me? Say, I'm with you, Mike. Okay, here's what it means. When you are filled, this is what it means. Whatever you're filled with, you're controlled by. Be being filled. It's not, I'm about 70% Holy Spirit in my life. It is that whatever you're filled with, you're controlled by.
Amen.
So what do we see in the book of Acts? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, right? And these guys who had very little courage to be witnesses of Jesus Christ, now Peter stands up in front of a crowd and begins to proclaim Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 3, they heal a man who was born crippled for 40 years. He was crippled, and they heal him, and they get dragged into, in Acts chapter 4, they get thrown into prison by the very guys who they were afraid of just 50 days earlier. Now the Sanhedrin's throwing him in prison because they did an act of kindness. And what we find in Acts chapter 4 is that when these guys who terrified them said, by what power and by what name are you doing this? Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, stands up. Oh, read it with me. Come on, read it with me. Go real quick. I'm pretty excited about this, as you can see, because it's worth being excited about. Okay, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel. These were the very ones they were afraid of. Now with boldness, Peter is standing up and saying, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. And now he throws down the gauntlet. Now this could actually cost him his life. He says this, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which man must be saved. Amen. What happened to Peter? What happened to him? He was afraid just 50 days earlier. What took place? He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did the Sanhedrin notice about him? Look, it says this. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. You see, dear ones, fear can control you. Anxiety can control you. Worry can control you. Anger can control you. Frustration can control you. Listen, man, I was raised in a home. I love my family. I was raised in a home where I was an angry, 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 angry child who grew up to be an angry, angry, angry teenager who grew up to be an angry, angry young adult. And I discovered being angry in ministry doesn't work real well. Do you have a tendency to preach messages like God wants to kill you dead? Okay. I was filled. I shot my brother with a BB gun because that's the only gun I could find. I broke a pool cue over his back. I took a metal pan and a metal spoon, put it on his head, went tang, 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 almost died for that one. I was so angry. Why? Because when you're filled, whatever you're filled with, you're controlled by. It's true. You can be filled with sorrow. You can be filled with regret. You can be filled with shame. You see, whatever your life is filled with, you're controlled by. The disciples were filled with fear. They were filled with pride. They were filled with jealousy over each other. And what you see when they were filled with the Holy Spirit is a transformative work where now they are in dependence upon God. Now they are needing each other. Now their life is not about what about Israel. It's about the kingdom of God. You see courage in men who are greatly afraid because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So in Acts chapter 4, after they're released, just read with me real quick. Acts chapter 4, they're released. They were threatened. Listen, they could lose their lives over this. In fact, in Acts chapter 5, they are beaten. They're flogged. And they rejoice that they were counted worthy suffering for the gospel of Christ. What happened to these guys? In Acts chapter 4, after their release, they were threatened. They spent a night in jail. They go back to their church family. They report what's going on and they begin to pray. And let's just capture just a portion of that prayer. And it's in verse 29 of chapter 4. And it says this: "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with" what? "Great boldness." The threat was to shut up. What do they need? They need a boldness. How are they going to get boldness? They need to be filled. "Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all again filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So they were filled in Acts chapter 2. Why were they filled in Acts chapter 4? Because fear and intimidation was trying to motivate them to shut up. Don't spread the gospel. Don't speak the word. Because if you do, it can get a lot worse for you. And so they needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit so that they had courage and boldness to keep obeying Jesus. Amen. Family, I'm going to ask you this question. What are you filled with? I'm not talking to you, a Christian. I'm not talking, are you saved? I'm not talking about this. I'm asking, what motivates your life? When you see the news and when you hear the reports and when you go, what fills your life? Because whatever fills you controls you. And I've known dear, dear family members, dear Christian people who love God, but their motivation is not by obedience because of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Their motivation is fear. Their motivation is anxiety. Their motivation is sorrow. Their motivation is regret. And that controls their life. And our role is not to say, shame on you. The role is, hey, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're not just to point it out. We say, hey, man, this is what Holy Spirit came for, to fill us so that we're motivated by them. So Paul says, Ephesians chapter 5. Everybody still with me? Say, just even if you have to lie, say yeah. Okay, good, thanks. No. Okay, you can go to bed then. Okay. How do you know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit? How do you know this? Traditional classical Pentecostal, which I have no trouble with, is you speak in other tongues, the physical evidence. And we're going to talk about that on the 25th. We're going to talk about that. It's an interesting thing that God would use the tongue. That's just really, he could have done anything. But we're going to talk about that. But Paul gives us four ways that we know in Ephesians 5 that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. First is this: speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, my whole life, I read it this way. I read this like this is a musical. And it didn't make sense to me. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. So do we come into church going, "Good morning, my brother, how art thou? It was a rough day, but I'm okay now." You know, is it? I just for some reason thought songs, hymns, we talk to each other in songs. You know, it's like, wow, that's weird, you know. I don't want to be in a musical. I kind of like musicals, but man, I don't want to be greet my wife. Good morning to you. Can I make you some coffee? Yes, beloved, I would love some coffee. You know, I'm sorry. I'm a little weird that way, but I just read it that way for years. But I realized this. They were ignorant, unschooled, unlearned, uneducated people, the New Testament. And so the way in which they would know the Word of God was would be through songs. The Psalms are actually songs. So songs, hymns, spiritual songs. We see this in Timothy when Paul begins to write of the goodness of God and he breaks out into a hymn that would be sung in the church. And it goes, we've sung it here before. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever and ever. Okay, so they would learn the word through song, through psalms. So one of the ways in which you know you're filled with the Holy Spirit is how you speak to each other. Do we speak words of encouragement? Do we remind each other of God's word? Do we remind each other of what God is going to do in the situation? Are we people who speak words of life to each other based upon God's word? When challenges come, do we, our words begin to reflect, hey, this is what God says about this, instead of, man, I think we're down. I think we're not coming back from this one. I think we are going under. Okay? We got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because Holy Spirit doesn't speak words other than what God's word says. So how do you know you're filled? Check your words. Check your words to your husband, to your wife, to your kids, to your friends, to your neighbor, to other people. Check your words, and you will find out from your words what you're filled with. And I think the Bible says something out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, but I could be wrong there. Secondly, Paul says, sing and make music in your heart to the Lord. What's your heart song? What is it that you meditate on? This word make music is actually to pluck the harp, like you're playing a guitar. It's like you got a song in your heart. What is a song that you sing? Praise to God is more than 35 minutes on a Sunday morning. It is a heart attitude that is evidence of what you're filled with. Can I encourage you? Don't listen to country western music. Because your dog's going to die, your wife's going to leave you, right? I'm tricking there, but you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's why there's no such thing as Christian blues. Oh, my God, done leave me, da-da-da-da. He left me again, da-da-da-da. There is just, make music in your heart. And this doesn't have to be verbal. It's just what is in your heart. Is there a song? There's an old hymn that making melody in your heart unto the King of all kings. There's a song that can be in our heart that is evidence of what we're filled with. Make a song. I love it. You are good. I can't tell you how many times I'm just walking. You are good. Huh? Good. Yeah. Oh, you are good. Ha! Good. Huh, oh, you know, I just sing. Right? It's a song that comes out, and you don't have to sing it verbally. It's just in your heart. What are you singing? What are you singing? Here's the third thing. Thankfulness. Thankfulness. Read with me real quick. Go to First Thessalonians. Go to First Thessalonians. Look at this. Everybody okay? Everybody okay today? I'm digging this a lot. Here's God's will. You can tell, right? Here's God's will for your life. Do you want to know what God's will is? Paul just lays it out. So simple. Be joyful always. Verse 16. Be joyful. One of the evidences of being filled with the Holy Spirit, I didn't want to explore that because it can go another direction, but we find in Luke chapter 10, Jesus filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. We find, I think it's Acts chapter 15, 16 or 17 right there, the Philippian church is under persecution for the gospel. They get saved and immediately they're getting persecution. And the Bible says that the church was filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. That one of the evidences of Holy Spirit filling is joy. How many wants more of that, right? It's joy. But be joyful always. This isn't like, okay, I got to be happy. No, it's in the heart of fullness. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Recognize, he didn't say for all circumstances. He says in all circumstances. I'm never going to be thankful for my dad passing away. I'm never going to be thankful that my nephew had a brain tumor. I'm never going to be thankful for some of the things I've gone through. I'm not going to be thankful for that, but I recognize when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, even in that, God's love is greater than my challenge, and he's going to see me through. So it's just saying thanks. I'm thankful. And we can't make it up. It's not like Aunt Betty gave you this awful gift and as a kid, well, thanks Aunt Betty. Thank you. It's not that. It's this heart that says, I can see God doing something even in the midst of the stuff. And if you can't, if you're not thankful, God, I need you to fill me again until I can be thankful. And the last thing he says, this submission. Ephesians 5 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. That when you and I, in our relationships, remember Pentecost happens in community. When you and I are in mutual submission, where we're not in a relationship to get something from someone, to dominate them, to control them, to be in charge of them. When we, and Paul goes into this, wives, submit your husbands unto the Lord. What does that mean? Wives, we've talked about this. Wives, because of Eve's sin, your role is you want to be in charge. You want your husband to be intimate with you. You want him just to share all of his feelings with you. And you want to be over him. You want all this stuff. And guys, because of Adam's sin, we're like, get away from me, man. We're going to have sex every once in a while. But really, I've got a job to do. I've got time is on my, it's leaving me, man. I got to get things done. I'm Mr. Detail. I got to get things going on. And so what you have is this conflict. And so what submission looks like this, wives, submit to your husbands as of the Lord. Don't make him something he's not. And husbands, don't ignore your wife. Love her as Christ loved the church. Wow, I just talked a lot again, didn't I? See, by nature, this is who we are. Children, obey your parents. That's what submission looks like. You do it as unto the Lord. Slaves and masters, employee, employer. This is what submission looks like, that we never take advantage of each other. See, this is so much different than I just speak in a tongue. Grateful for that. But it's so much more than that. It's that our relationships are not about what can I get from you. Our relationship is how can I bless you? How can I serve you? That can only happen by being filled with the Holy Spirit. And if husbands, if you're having trouble loving your wives, this is the command of Jesus. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wives, if you're having trouble submitting to your husband, that man just needs to change. No, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Children, if your parents are dumb, wait about 10 years. They'll get really smart. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Why do we have to continually be filled? Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16, so I say, live by the Spirit. Here's this idea. When Deb and I got married, I'm going to finish this, but when Deb and I got married, now my life was not what I wanted to do. Now I had to take into consideration someone else. When we had kids, now our life wasn't about us. We had to take into consideration those kids. When you live by the Holy Spirit, it's not your life anymore. You take into consideration who's living in you. You pay attention to that. Not that, him. He's a person. You pay attention to who's inside you. Jesus said, not only be with you, but he'll be in you. So when Paul says live by the Spirit, it's not walking around going, Holy Spirit, should I make a left here? Holy Spirit, should I have a burrito or a hamburger for lunch today? That's that weird stuff again. It's recognizing who is in us, and we're living by his lordship, not ours. We're living by his direction, not ours, as we discover him in the Word, okay? So I say, live by the Spirit, and what will happen? You will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Now, will somebody be honest with me that after you came into a relationship with Jesus Christ, you still had sinful desires? Does anybody but me ever had that happen? Okay, for those of you who didn't raise your hand, God bless you. Okay. Okay. Paul says there's this battle that takes place. Looks like this. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. In essence, you can't do this by yourself. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. So listen real quick. Law doesn't change anybody. If the speed limit says 55, exactly right. Thank you very much. Exactly right. It's a stupid law. Who thought of this law? What a dummy. There's nobody on this. I'm all by myself. I can go 70. I hope there's no cops around. So what do? We buy fuzz protectors so we do not get caught, right? All that law does is reveal the heart. It doesn't change the heart. You can tell your kid all day long, your child, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. But that doesn't change their heart. It just tells them the laws of your home. When you're led by the Spirit, you don't need law. When you are living with He is the pilot, when He is in control, when He's steering your boat, you don't need people to, you can't do this, you can't do that, you shouldn't do this. Why? Because you have someone who is guiding you in the way of life. The reason why you and I need to continually be filled is this. We have this constant surrender to more and more of our life. That when I was filled with the Holy Spirit, it didn't mean that every part of my life was totally under His lordship. And to this day at 54 years old, He is still occupying that pilot seat in my life. Let me tell you, Deb and I were at Costco yesterday and I thought about this. Have you ever walked into like a Costco or a Walmart and you see somebody that you don't like or who hurt you? I saw you yesterday, Josh. I was wondering if that's what you're thinking. Okay. Have you ever experienced that where you came across someone that you got conflict with? How many's ever experienced that? Okay. Were you immediately filled with, oh, I just love you? How many of you have been filled with, how many of you ever felt that way? I mean, you're having a great day. I mean, life's pretty good. And yet, you know, you walk around and it's like. Okay. So when that happens, it reveals that there's something that's filled in our lives that Holy Spirit wants to occupy. Because now they're in control. Now they're the pilot. Now they're the one who's leading my life, our lives, right? You see that person, and instead of going, man, God bless you, good seeing you, and you're not pretending, not acting, it's whatever you're feeling, and it can happen just like this. You see that person, you go, oh, gosh, and you're not speaking in tongues, you're speaking in, right? It can happen that fast. Why? Because all of us are learning. Galatians 5, all of us have this conflict where Holy Spirit wants to fill that portion of your life so that He stays in control of your life and not your past, not a situation, and not even another person. And Paul says that we wrestle. We got this fight. There's this conflict going on because a sinful nature wants to just not want well for them. Our sinful nature desires things that are contrary. So being filled is not like I'm 70% filled. Ooh, I'm 100% filled. I hope I don't leak them all out. No, it's this constant surrender to more and more of our lives to God where we recognize, hey, man, I don't have thankfulness in my heart. Man, I'm not, my song is doom, despair, agony on me, deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Thank you, television. Used to be, what was that show with Roy Clark? Hee-haw. Wow. It goes back away and it still permeates every Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Be filled with the Spirit. Not a single experience, but it's constantly. So what do we do? Here's our last verse for the day. Go with me to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Family, what are you filled with? Because whatever you're filled with, you're controlled by. And Paul's writing this to believers. So he's not talking about people who are not in relationship with God. He's talking with the believers. Be filled. Be being filled. That the evidence of our life is, hey man, we're submission to each other. The evidence of being filled is the way we speak to each other. The way that we're filled is, you know, the words we say to each other. Paul says in Ephesians 4, don't let corrupt communication, don't do anything but edifying. Why? Because you grieve Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, when he hears words that are not his, and I have Holy Spirit and you have Holy Spirit, and when I say stuff like, you are the biggest jerk, you idiot dork, well, he doesn't say that in any of the word, and it grieves him. So you can tell what you're filled with by your words. I can too. Luke chapter 11. Jesus is teaching on prayer. Listen to these words. Verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Context is prayer. Now, please do not hear this because the word is keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. So Jesus is not saying, don't want to, nope, don't like you, nope, keep going, keep trying. If you get one more prayer and you got it, one more, oh, you quit too soon. Ah, too bad on you. He's not talking about that. In the context, he's talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. Recognizing that you and I continually need to be filled, he's saying, stay in relationship with me because one time is not enough. Keep asking because once isn't it. When I was 16 years old, that was, okay, I'm done. I'm in. I got the language. I'm in the club. Mm-mm. Keep seeking. Keep asking. Keep knocking. I promise you. You're going to receive, you're going to find, the door's going to be open to you. What is it? This continual revelation of who Holy Spirit is in our lives. And Jesus says something remarkable. And I want all parents, I want you to think about this for a moment. This is just weird. Look what he says. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? So you go home for lunch today and your child goes, Dad, can I have an egg salad sandwich? Sure you can, son. Hold one. Let me get the bag. Get the prongs. Look out for this snake while you eat it. Or, hey, those scorpions can sting. Be careful. That is just ridiculous, right? Well, it's quiet. Do you guys do this, by the way? I'm never coming to your house for dinner, I'll tell you that much right now. Are you them weird folks who handle snakes? This is just like, what? Listen. He says, compared to the goodness of the Heavenly Father, we're all evil. Yet we would never do that to our kids. What they need to eat and to grow and to be sustained, they need food. And if your child asks for food, you're not going to give them a snake, a poisonous snake, the idea is here. You're not going to give them something that's going to harm them. No parent, even as evil as we are, would do that. And Jesus says this, how much more your Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. What do you and I need? We need the Holy Spirit. How do we receive him? We ask, and we ask, and we ask, and we seek, and we seek, and we seek, and we knock, and we knock, and we knock. Not that God is saying, Holy Spirit, not yet, not yet. Is that prayer 47? When he gets to prayer 50, we'll do it. Uh-uh. There's always so much more of him, so we got to keep asking, Lord, man, I was just really angry today. That was that old Mike. That was that old Mike who just got angry at a drop of a hat, and then words started coming out of his mouth. God, Would you fill me today with the Holy Spirit? God, I didn't have a good attitude today. Man, I just had some thoughts that were not really cool. You know that. I'm just seeking you. Would you fill me with the Holy Spirit today? And it's not that I'm not already filled. It's that there's areas of my life that still he wants to say, I want that area of your life as well. And so I got to keep talking to him about it. I got to keep seeking him. I got to keep knocking. I got to be asking. So my family, here's what I'm asking you today. What are you filled with? In the depths of your heart, what are you filled with? Are you filled with bitterness? Are you filled with unforgiveness? Are you filled with anger? I can recognize anger that quick because that's what I used to be filled with. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, our words will be different. Our thankfulness will be greater. The song in our heart will not be dark. It'll be life-giving. And we'll also recognize our relationships are in submission to each other. This we submit one to another because we do this under the Lord. That's what being filled looks like. And I believe with all my heart, our world needs to see Spirit-filled believers. Who would not want to be around someone who speaks life to them? Who would not want to be around someone who's got a good song in their heart so they smile a lot? Who would not want to be around someone who, boy, that guy's got way too much joy? You need to tone it down a little bit. Are you kidding me? Nah. My son and I, we umpire for Little League. And I'm just going to sit in front of you. He is a much better person than I am. Because Tuesday night, he's behind the plate. Sorry, Josh, I don't mean to embarrass you, but I know you're okay with this. At least, if not, I'll buy you lunch. Anyways. So Tuesday night, it's one of these close games, okay? And boy, when we got there, they were like, oh man, good, Mike and Josh, they're umpiring, yay. Because we try hard. We work really hard to be good umpires, okay? By the end of the game, the song of the heart began to change. So Josh made some correct calls, but went against one team and they lost. So when we were walking off the field, words were being said to us about our competency. Oh my goodness. They forget these kids are 10, 11, 12 years old. Next year the college scouts will be there. Anyways. So we're walking on the field and it's being pelted down on us. Oh man, Blue, you saw, blah, blah. And they said to Josh, oh, go back to school teaching. You're a better school teacher. And here's what my son said. Thank you. I think I'm a pretty good school teacher too. And he goes, no, I didn't mean that as a compliment. I meant that as an insult. Oh, my bad. My bad. My bad. So me, my anger, Mike, you're talking about my son, right? He's like, hey, man, they're passionate about the game. In my heart, I'm going, I'm not making melody. I'm making, oh, man, hi-ya, right? In my heart, I was not filled with joy. That fast. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Because you can be having a great day, then all of a sudden you're filled with sorrow. You saw something, you heard something, you smelled something, something triggered something, and that sorrow that you didn't even realize was there, it becomes triggered, and now you're filled with it. Keep seeking. Keep asking. Keep knocking. And what amazes me about Jesus, he was always filled with the Holy Spirit, so he never once was motivated by someone else. So here he is hanging on the cross, and they're saying, ah, if you're really the Son of God, come down. We'll believe you then. Father, forgive him. I would just say, God, turn him into bacon. That's what I would say. Just fry him. Just, they deserve it. But he was never motivated outside of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Dear ones, we need to be filled. And Luke 11 says, ask the Father. So would you stand with me? We're going to ask the Father today. Notice that Jesus didn't say, first of all, you've got to do this, this, and this, and then this, this, and this, and then maybe. He just said simply, your Father knows what you need. Ask. Just ask him. And if you discover throughout this week areas of your life that you're going away from melodies in your heart, joy, you find yourself becoming overwhelmed and you're being filled with anxiety or worry or what's going to happen, I'm asking again, Father, I need you to fill me with Holy Spirit. How do I know I'm filled? The melody changes in your heart. The words change that you speak to that person that maybe you don't care for too much. Maybe you start looking at relationships a little different. Instead of what can I get from you, it's how can I serve? But we all need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Would you say yes and amen with me on that? So we do certain things here. One is that we're a posture of receiving. It's like when my kids were very young and they wanted their dad to hold them or their mom to hold them, they would reach up. It was just a physical, we didn't have to ask what they wanted. As soon as they went like this, we knew exactly what they wanted. They wanted us to hold them. So we do things like that. We lift our hands, not because God is up there and we're trying to reach toward him, but as a physical expression of a childlike heart. And would you join with me in just lifting your hands up like this and just saying, as I pray for you, Father, fill us with the Holy Spirit. You will never give us anything that would cause us harm. You will never give us anything or anyone that would cause us damage or scare us or frighten us. And just like our children, when they ask for food, they need that food. If we don't give that to them, they're going to starve and they can't grow and they can't continue to mature. We're evil parents and we know how to take care of our kids. Father, you're a good father, and you know exactly what we need. And here's what you said, you will give us Holy Spirit. So Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that we would all be being filled with the Holy Spirit. That we would all, Father, be filled today and tomorrow and the next. And that the evidence of being filled is clear in our lives and our hearts. And it's not because we have done anything but received the fullness of Holy Spirit. Teach us your ways and let us be able to say, man, 60 days ago I was filled with anxiety, but I'm not anymore because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Man, I used to be filled with fear. I'm not anymore. I'm filled with joy. I used to be filled with worry and anxiety. I'm not anymore. I'm filled with peace and love. And we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to do that wonderful work in our hearts and our lives today, tomorrow, and the next. In Jesus' name, amen. Be filled. Now go away. You're dearly loved, everyone. God bless you today.